Hello there and welcome along to this week's edition of The Front Page. We have a jam-packed show in store for you. We're going to talk about a muddy Ark picture, which seemed to come clearer on one hand and less clear due to the Ark trials at Longchamp yesterday. We've also had some high-profile defeats of market protagonists, so we'll unpack that and hopefully get some selections for the French showpiece in a few moments' time. We're also going to be talking about a little bit of needle between John Gosden and Aidan O'Brien as the Irish Champion Stakes is coming up. Ombudsman won't be there, but Delacroix will. Not another rematch between the pair. What's going on with Aidan O'Brien and John Gosden, we ask. And finally, we're going to talk about the strike this week. There will be a blank day without any racing on Wednesday. What will it achieve? What do our panellists make of it? I'll find out shortly. I'm your host this week, Maddie Plale. I'm joined in the studio by Liam Head and Chris Cook. Great to see you here, gents. How are you doing, you first, Liam?
Very good, yeah. Now, looking, like you said, it was a bit of a strange weekend with the results in Britain and Ireland and France as well. So looking forward to seeing what we all think of the big races coming up.
What do you reckon, Chris?
I mean, I'm just glad to be here after the tube strike. I've had to walk clear across London. I'm probably going to flake out some point during the show. The spread is currently 20 to 22 minutes, buy or sell.
I'll try and keep it swift then. Let's talk about the Ark picture then. I was at Kempton for the September Stakes on Saturday where Kalpana was beaten by Gia Velotto. She was the odds-on favourite for the Ark. Now connections might not even go to France and instead go back to Ascot for the Fillies and Mares Stakes that she won last year. And then yesterday at Longchamp, Whirl was beaten in the Prix Vermeil up to a mile and a half. She was firmly put in her place. Mini Hawk is now our new joint favourite alongside the Vermeil winner Aventure for the Ark. Mini Hawk, who of course would need to be supplemented for the contest, the Yorkshire Oaks winner. We had Byzantine Dream put his hat in the ring for the race in the Prix Foy. And also Qualificar winning the Niel. They're all in the picture. Win and you're in races, but I believe all three of them held entries in the Ark. Anyway, let's run you through the market then quickly. So Mini Hawk and Aventure at 4-1, 10-1 Sozi, who ran so well in defeat over the weekend, 12 Byzantine Dream. Quadanor, the Japanese horse who we're going to see out soon in the Prix de Prince d'Orange, he's the same price. 14 Kalpana, 20 Gazora, who was also in the Vermeil Qualificar, and then 25s for Alohi Ali, Estrange, Quisana, Whirl, and 33s to 1 bar. This race for me, gents, is just a minefield. I like getting myself stuck in anti-posts if I can find one that's a bit of value. I think I'm struggling here. I think the only one you could argue who might shorten in the coming weeks is Quadanord if he runs away with his prep, but they just seem to be contenders falling by the wayside every 5 minutes, Chris. I'm not sure it's going to be a very strong race.
I think, I wouldn't say that, because everyone thinks it's open, so that means like everyone's going to show up. There's nobody who's scaring anyone away,
though,
right?
If it's soft ground, I mean, Mini Hawk, I'm not sure she'll go if it's soft ground. Gia Velotto is probably not going to go.
I wouldn't be sure Mini Hawk will turn up under any circumstances. So the 3-year-old filly, right, she's got to get to that point, giving out the signals at home that she's ready to run for her life, and that's a hard thing to do, to get all the way to the beginning of October for a young filly like that, who's probably wound up early in the season. Look at Whirl from the same yard.
I think she just didn't stay. That was my analysis.
You think that's what it was?
Yeah.
I think there might have been more to it than that. But anyway, if you look at Ark history, 3-year-old fillies definitely can win. But who are they? It's Trev, it's Enable, it's Zarkava, it's Daydream. Those are the only four, I think, since 1982. So if you're not in that sort of company, with you, those are real superstars, then maybe you can't win the Ark as a 3-year-old filly. It's a lot to ask, even though you're getting all the way allowances. Hmm. My inclination is to be sceptical. Like you, I found it tremendous fun trying to make sense of this market for the last couple of months, right? Because there's not been any dominant horse really at any stage. And there still isn't. I'm looking down from the top and going, no, I don't fancy that one, not that one, not that one, not that one. There's got to be some value in there somewhere, right? Have a go, I think. Pick a couple of horses that you sort of half fancy at a decent price and see if they turn up,
My two stabs before yesterday were Arrow Eagle and Leffard, and both couldn't have put in worse ARC trials if they tried.
It doesn't mean they can't win, though, necessarily, right?
I think with those two, it does. Who are you looking towards?
So I'm already on a strange... I mean, that kind of feels like that's going a bit nowhere. That being said, you know, under very different ground conditions, she could get involved. It feels like the level that has to be achieved is maybe not quite as high as in some of the best ARCs that we've had. But ground-wise, it's interesting to me that all the discussions about soft ground, and we've had so many soft ground ARCs in recent years, is like people have just got into the mindset of it's always going to be like that. But it was nearly quick on Sunday for those trials. We're only 3 weeks away. I was looking at the forecast for Paris. There's a little bit of rain coming maybe on Thursday. But, you know, I think we're going to get to the weekend with the ground substantially the same. You know, from an English perspective, you think that the ground's starting to soften up at this time of year. Mm. But the 3 days they had in Paris over the weekend were like 30 degrees. We did used to get quite a few good ground ARCs in the past, and maybe this is going to be another one.
Enable in 2018 might have been the last.
Okay.
Without well, that soft is quite a long time ago, but description, I think.
But it, like I say, it used to happen fairly regularly, and you see horses finishing at speed. A horse like Giovalotto, you know, having just beaten Calpana that everybody fancied, people are putting a line through him because connections are sort of going, oh, we want to go to Hong Kong. But he's in the race, and I think they will wait and see. And if it looks like coming up good ground, why on earth wouldn't you go for a £2 million race?
I did say to Marco Botti on Saturday, I posed that to him. He was very of the mind that it was unlikely. And I think he's not a good to soft horse either. He wants it properly rattling quick. But in his mind, the owners will definitely be pushing him to roll the dice. So maybe, I think he's got the talent to go
well. There's a sort of complicating factor, isn't there? He's been Ushin Murphy's ride. And Ushin, I think, is committed to the Japanese horses at Byzantine Dream. So in that circumstance, you're not going to get any encouragement from the jockey, are you? And you're going to have to find a different jockey and who maybe doesn't know the horse so well. And meanwhile, Ushin's probably telling you, oh, I don't think he's good enough. Send him somewhere else. So, there's that to worry about. But I mean, he's such a big price, I think you can just, it's a bet to nothing, you know, at the moment. Because if he did actually turn up and run on the day.
What price would he be, do you think?
Well, I mean, that means already it must be at least good ground. He'd have to be single figures, wouldn't he? 5-6 to 1, maybe?
I think so. And for me, he's a horse that when he gets his conditions, he is a proper Group 1 animal. I know he's only won the one Group 1, but I think he is a real top notch.
Behind a strong pace, you know, that could really be, you know, a useful test for him. Anyway, I mean, so maybe the 1-2 from the September Stakes is a way to go because, you know, if it comes up mud, then Calpana's in great shape. And was she 14-1 now?
I don't think they're going to go.
Are they not going to even turn up?
Well, that was just my take on what was said after the race. I think, you know, it was suggested to Andrew Balding, was she maybe 80% fit? And he was sort of saying, no, much, much better than that. He thought he had a pretty straight. I thought she looked pretty fit. I don't think there was any excuses. I suppose you could argue maybe that form would be good enough anyway.
Some cut in the ground, I think, makes her, you know, improves her prospects in any race.
If you look at how she won that September Stakes last year, I don't think she was as good this year.
Mm, okay, was that as strong a race?
Maybe not as strong, but...
I'd be inclined to forgive, knowing that that was never the main target anyway.
I mean, you're getting a decent price now, 14-1 about her.
That's exactly it. You know, you hopefully be taking a price about a horse that if she shows up is going to be shorter.
What's your take, Liam? What did you make of yesterday's action?
Yeah, I mean, it was all the sort of, like you said, the main protagonists in the ARC market all kind of didn't really show the levels that we've seen to them, you know, so far. Obviously, we've seen... You mentioned Calpana on Saturday, but then Whirl obviously really disappointing yesterday. So it is so wide open. But I think just going back to what we've just been saying there on the ground, we're so accustomed to the ARC being soft ground in October. You know, everyone thinks that that's going to naturally happen. But like Chris said yesterday, over the weekend in Paris, you're talking 30 degree heat. I mean, the time suggests it was a lot quicker than what we thought it might have been going into the weekend. So,
I mean, Ed Walker's horse has actually run pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That wasn't his ground, was it?
No, absolutely not. And I just think it's so wide open. I think there's no one's gonna want to sort of make the first move. Everyone's waiting to see what everyone else does first. And I think if you've got the opportunity, certainly from an owner's perspective, if you've got the opportunity to go and run in an ARC, you're gonna go for it, aren't you? You've got to, like, you get
100%.
No, it's
roll the dice.
It's the biggest race of the year. Like, you want to be involved in it.
It's not like there's a golden horn scaring you away.
Exactly. Like, I mean, the horses, like, Kalpana was, she was favourite before the weekend, didn't perform the way that we thought she would on Saturday. So, obviously, she's doubled in price now. But, I mean, if, and it's a big if, she goes there to the Arc, she would still be at this price, she'd be a decent player. I mean, I was at Ascot when she finished second to Calandigan in the King George, and a cracking run on ground that she was not really suited to. So, obviously, if it does get soft, you know, and proper testing at Longchamp in a few weeks' time, then you'd have to would consider her, even though she was a little bit below par at Kempton on Saturday. So it is really wide open. There's so many of them. I think, like you said though, Maddie, it's so hard to try and pin a bit of value because there's it's so wide open. You can't really call it at this stage.
It is. Me being me, I'm interested in the Japanese Challenge. Their quest to win the Arc goes on. Will this be their year? Well, they've certainly had an incredible build-up to it with Alohi Ali winning his prep. He wasn't good enough in Japan behind Quad and Ord, who, as I said earlier, we've yet to see. And, of course, Byzantine Dream added his name to their squad yesterday. What do you make of them, Chris? Because I think some people, they just discount the Japanese form and they just think they're not the right horses for the Arc. I must admit, going into this year, I thought, I'm not sure that Quad and Ord is the best that they've sent over. But after speaking to a few Japanese experts, they say that he's a proper horse, and he might not even have to be to win this year's
Arc. I mean, the way that they've been winning major races at the big meetings around the world over the last 2 or 3 years, you always got to take them seriously, right? But it does seem to be a thing that they need top of the ground, or they go best on top of the ground. And you know, if they do get that rain in Paris that we're accustomed to seeing, generally speaking, that would lead me to put a line through the Japanese runners, because their form is just, you know, on completely different surfaces. Cradenor, you know, I'm sure he's full of quality, but, you know, coming to Europe for the first time is plenty to prove.
Well, we're going to find out how good he is when he faces Calandigan. How's that for your first test in Europe?
Yeah, exactly. If he comes through that, then, you know, we'll know exactly how good he is. But then, I mean, again, you've got to back it up with a second run. You know, that's the difficult thing.
So. And as we saw with Dan Underseal, it's not easy trying to bring your form and reproduce your best effort halfway across the world, is it?
It's a really, really difficult challenge. A completely different racing culture.
I think half the battle is just getting here, isn't it? You know, the travel, how they take to, you know, the surroundings as well. So, but it's great, you know, from a spectator's point of view, like to have, as you'd expect, you know, such an international challenge from all over the world. You know, it's the world's best race, so there should be top class horses from all around the continent.
He's the one, as I say, that I think has potential to crash in price, Quad and Ord, at that 14-1 now. But there's something, whether it's the ground, whether it's the task at hand, I'm not quite wanting to go in just yet. Let's talk about Aventure, because she was second last year, put up before yesterday's race by our very own Catherine McRae. Great bit of tipping there.
I didn't know that. Okay.
She, 16-1 was with the odds banded around. Yeah. It was a big price, looking very good now. Second last year was a fantastic effort. Liam, she looks just as good, if not maybe slightly better this year. Do you think she should be favourite of a Mini Hawk?
Given that we've seen her literally the other day, so and you know the way that she won was very impressive. You know, got course form clearly, and was, you know, narrowly unlucky to finish second last year. So the fact that she's got experience in the race, she's a year older, you've got to take her seriously, haven't you?
Definitely.
Second to Blue Stocking
last year, please.
I'd say she's solid, right? But she's not sexy. You know, you don't get the impression that she can dominate or that she's got potential for another big step forward. She's going to run a race. She's been first or second, I think, the last seven times. And that's why she's up at the top of the betting. But I mean, can 4-1 be value, a better chance? If there's a good horse in the field, or if things don't go exactly right for her, you know, she might be second or third again. So, I mean, well done, Catherine, for getting the each way price, right? But I think if you've missed that particular bus, then you know it's too late.
I'm just having a look here at the past winners, and 4-year-old fillies have a better record than the 3-year-old fillies. I was shocked when you said about that stat earlier. Yeah. Some of these are the same. Obviously, Blue Stocking One's a 4-year-old filly. An Able One is a 4-year-old. Found Trev is a 4-year-old. Solomare is a 4-year-old. So more have done it from that generation.
That's my thinking. You know, another year makes a big difference. It makes you tougher. It gives you a better chance of lasting out the season.
And finally, I don't think any of us are really expecting Qualificar to progress into an art course. What say you? He did well to get out of a hole, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, and he looked quite classy doing it. I feel like he's one that, again, has potential to be better than we've seen so far. If it comes up similar ground, I'd be taking him seriously for sure.
The rest of the 3-year-old colts aren't up to much, so are they, Liam?
No, I think you've got it. You need a lot of experience coming into a race of this stature, so it's definitely one for the older horses.
It's going back a bit, right? But an Andre Farber improving 3-year-old, even if it had been a little bit unexposed, always used to be a great system in the arc, you know. Mm. I wouldn't be putting a line through Qualificar under any circumstances. He's
one to take seriously. It was a nice prep, wasn't it, to sort of win without overly exerting himself.
He hasn't left the race behind on Sunday, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's quite interesting, isn't it? Aidan O'Brien form, are we concerned about that before we move on?
I wasn't. Should we be?
So the question I'm asking you, he's had quite a few high-profile horses be defeated recently.
Yeah, I mean, in the context of the arc, what bothers me about him is that he's won one arc at Longshaw and another one at Shanty, which, considering that he's got all of those middle distance bloodlines, coming towards him, is kind of unsettling. You sort of think if this was a race he was determined to win every year, he'd be doing that. He must be up to double figures in the Derby now, isn't he? So it can only be that this is an afterthought, or this is something he finds a horse for this race. But he's not plotting his way towards it from springtime. And it does sort of, it pulls down your expectations for his runners a bit. But then, if you sort the current entries by Racing Post rating, which I quite often do, it's a great way into a race, there's Ombudsman at the top who isn't going to run. And then I think it's 4 or 5 from Aidan's Yard. So he's going to have a big say. But it doesn't appeal to me as a race to be backing one of his.
Yeah, he said at one point it was his strongest team for the race. Well, Los Angeles and World didn't really help him out over the weekend. We'll see how that develops. More on Aidan O'Brien and indeed John Gosden just after this. We're not afraid of a bit of antagonism on the front page, and it seems that Aidan O'Brien and John Gosden have followed suit. Last week, we discovered that Ombudsman would not be going for another clash with Delacroix in the Irish Champion Stakes on Saturday. He said, the Irish Champion Stakes is a race that our stable has won 4 times. Very proud, John. Obviously, it would not be in the best interests of Ombudsman to race in September, nor would the horse appreciate running against multiple entries from one stable on a track with a short straight.
Yikes.
Not in his best interests? I'm not sure that's fair with Ombudsman, but he is likely to have faced multiple entries from one stable. Chris, what do you make of those comments?
So I think the basic point seems fair. They've got a very ambitious plan for Ombudsman, haven't they? They're talking about Ascot, Breeders' Cup, maybe another race in December. So for a horse that's already had the campaign that he's had, you can absolutely see why they don't want to go to Ireland in September if that's the ending to the year that they've got in mind. And also, I don't know if they said already, but that makes you think that this is going to be the end for him this year. He's not going to come back next year if they're finishing with that kind of flourish. That part of it makes sense, but then you get into the sort of needle between John and Aidan, which is just, it's great fun. It's like racing has suddenly become wrestling, and we've got to have all of this big talk before every bout. I'm completely here for it. That if one day they're in the same room actually talking about a race, they'll be great pals again, and they'll show the respect that they have for each other. But at the moment, it's like they're having a little war of words through the media, and it's good fun.
I should go with Aidan O'Brien's reply. He said he whinges a little bit. Sometimes when John gets beat, he doesn't always take it very well, and even when he wins. But it's good fun, it's sport at the end of the day. So that's echoing what you were saying, Chris. But
No one backing down or nothing.
I do think those comments about Ombudsman can be challenged, particularly when you say it's not in his best interest to run. I mean, Delacroix went to York and ran his race. Why can't Ombudsman come out and do the same?
Sure. I guess that's a way of expressing the thought that trainers have got into the habit of using, haven't they? When they're sort of...
They want an easier option.
They're basically saying, I'm doing this, and you don't bloom and argue with me, because I know best what's best for the horse. And you know,
I don't think we should conflate those things as strictly as that sometimes, though.
That's the way it seems to be going anyway. But yeah, I think, as I say, if they really are wanting to get another three runs out of him, then fair play to miss this race, right?
Yeah, kind of fair enough. I was wondering earlier whether soft ground would be in his thing in the Champion Stakes, but of course he won Group 3 in France last year on soft ground at Liam. It's a shame we're not going to see him clash again, isn't it? Ombudsman and Delacroix. Do you think Ombudsman is just the better horse now after York?
I think he's at this stage of the season, yeah, he looks like it, but I think it is a shame that we won't get to see the trilogy between them. You know, in next time out. But I suppose, like Chris said, when you think of they've kind of outlined three more races for the horse, who's already been seen on a race course a handful of times this season already, and what he's done, I think they've got to look to those races and think, right, well, you do need to give the horse a break at some stage. It's obviously a shame that we won't see them going up, because it has the makings to be an absolute classic again. So, I mean, it's a difficult one, really, because you want to see the best horse running against each other. But I suppose what this would do for Ombudsman's profile, if he was to go over to win in the Breeders' Cup, win in Japan, it'd be huge for the Gosdens and for Godolphin as well.
I mean, Irish Champion Stakes is still going to be a cracker, isn't it?
Is it?
It nearly always is.
Let's just run through the market before we get some thoughts on that. Delacroix 5-4, 7-2 Zaran, 6 Shin Empress, 7 Anmat, 10 White Birch, 16 Diego Velasquez, Mini Hawk, See the Fire and World, 20 Los Angeles Royal Champion, and 25's Bar. I mean, a lot of those aren't going to run, Chris.
Well, I mean, that's the worry. I mean, Mini Hawk's not going to run, is she?
I'd say Diego Velasquez probably isn't going to run. Anmat might not if the ground's quick.
They want to run Anmat, don't they?
I'd say Anmat would go.
I don't think he'll run if the ground's decent. Well, what's the weather doing?
Well, they have had a bit of rain in Ireland over the weekend and towards the end of last week. So I'd be more in the camp of, I'd say they're probably sort of maybe 70-30 in favour of running him.
Okay.
So if you get those top five in the betting turn up, then everything else is gravy on top of that. I think that would be a good race.
And Anmat is a lot better on a bit of juice in the ground as well. So I think we've seen, you know, he ran a cracker. Was it the Tats Gold Cup?
I think he's just an all-round good horse. And he's still a bit so underestimated.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously we've seen what Owen Burrows has done this year with some of his team. He's on for his best year to date as well. And I think obviously going for the Champion Stakes at Ascot is you know, going to be next after this weekend, because I don't think there's anywhere to run Anmat if he doesn't run this weekend before Ascot. So I would be surprised if Anmat doesn't run this weekend.
Of course, that's another factor with the Arc, isn't it? There are no geldings, so that rules out Calandagan, Anmat, Goliath from going to the race. It's a debate that rolls on, should we let geldings run in the Arc? But let us know in the comments what you think. Back to the Irish Champion Stakes. I was chatting in the office moments ago with Robbie Wilders, and he suggested maybe backing Royal Champion, who of course put in that excellent performance at York last time, beating Al McCam, who ran okay over the weekend, as we've discussed. I'm quite tempted by that, because I think Diego Velasquez probably isn't going to run. I don't think Mini Hawk's going to run. See the Fire might not run. Whirl isn't going to run. Los Angeles isn't going to run. Not sure there's going to be that many runners. And 20-1 about a horse who was arguably put up close to a career best last time. Nearly won a Grade 1 out in Canada a few years ago when I was there. That was a great run that day. I could see him running into a place, if not more, very easily. So
Robbie didn't want you to keep this quiet then. He wasn't planning to publish it.
I could have just said it was my own. I could have just said it was my own, but I thought I'd give him
a flash of inspiration.
I'm just so nice like that, Chris. Okay, sounds like you two are fairly keen on Anmat. Of course, we've got another Japanese raider in there in Shin Emperor, who was arguably unlucky last year. So who's your money on?
I think Anmat, whilst accepting that to some extent it's emotional money, I love the horse. And I still don't think people take him quite as seriously as he deserves, and the trainer too. So
yes, very fair comment. Liam, you in agreement?
I think so. I think he's been such a consistent performer for the yard, you know, throughout his career. Just continues to deliver. We've seen, you know, flashes of his very best this season already, and you know, this has been a plan for a while. And I think if they do get a bit more rain towards the end of this week, I think that'll only enhance his chances. Will be interesting to hear who rides him, though.
Yes.
With Jim Crowley, suspected broken leg, I believe, after a nasty incident at York on Sunday. So, but I think the horse is a superstar, and I think we can see him to his very best in Ireland.
Yeah, quite a few jockeys sustaining serious injuries over the weekend. Our thoughts with those, Jim Crowley and Trevor Whelan, of course, at York, David Noonan at Fontwell, and a few others throughout the week as well. So our thoughts with them as they head towards recovery. Just another few words on the beef between John Gosden and Nathan O'Brien, though. You like it, Chris. I think it's good for the sport. I think it drums up a bit of interest. It sort of builds a narrative. It shows how competitive these trainers are, and I think it's positive.
That's true, isn't it? I mean, we know from sort of observing them at close quarters that there's a real fire burning in all of these people. But they quite often hold back from letting it out in public, right? Yeah. Whereas I guess Aidan and John have got to the stage where, you know, they don't feel any particular need to disguise how they feel. And so they're throwing in a couple of haymakers. And you know, why not? It's, you know, it's a passionate game, and that should be expressed.
Definitely. I found some of Aidan's comments after York quite interesting in the Voltiger when he was talking about how the race was a bit of a mess. And I thought, there was a pacemaker, one of your pacemakers in there, Aidan. And then again in the Judmont, of course, both had quite a lot to say about Burcastle's heroics under Rab Havlin. Not going to open the jar about pacemakers once again.
Why not?
Because we could do that on another show or another week.
I think they're great pacemakers. Every race should have one. Every big race. Okay. Yeah.
It's funny how they've come into in vogue this season, isn't it? Yeah. With all the chatter. But
I think it's because we've seen that the very best and the best at what a pacemaker can do and what it shouldn't do for a race. Yes. So I think that's why that's come into it. But just on John Gosden and Aidan, they've been around long enough to know what to say and what not to say. Mm. I think it just spices things up. It's exciting, you know. Like Chris said before, you know, there might be a camera on them the next time they're on a race course together, hoping that there might be a few more words of, you know. But they'll shake hands and laugh.
Of course,
it's sport at the end of the day, and everyone wants to be the top dog. So why shouldn't they give it every now and then? It's just entertainment.
I mean, and the other aspect to it, Aidan is always quite conscientious about trying to sort of drum up support for Irish races, right?
Yep.
I mean, he, although he obviously has to try and win as many of those as he can, he does like to see them well contested as well, because he knows, you know, that his employers and the people he works with every day, they want to see Irish racing thriving. They want to see, you know, top level competition. They want good horses to come over and get beaten in those races. And so, you know, there's a genuine side to that. I'm perfectly prepared to believe he wanted to see Ombudsman in that race and to beat him fair and square. Or just to beat him.
You know? I think so. And although you could argue, well, hang on, he's trying to make stallions, it's in his interest to have an easy race and have another Group 1 on his profile. But I do think he genuinely sees the bigger picture. And I think it's a very valid question to ask, you know. Yes, he would be vulnerable to some of those team tactics, Ombudsman, but, you know, you could argue that that's exactly what Burcastle did at York.
It's a game for our adults, is what I should say. And so, yeah, you know, you have to sort of work out how you're going to approach a race like that and take into account all the things that you know are going to be ranged against you.
But we do want, and I guess it links to the ARC as well, sportsmanship and having a go. We saw it in the Nunthorpe, didn't we, with a few of those two-year-old fillies and a lot of supplementaries. And I think this season can really do with that, given that there's weakness in some of the areas. But nevertheless, the Irish Champion Stakes with our Ombudsman still going to be an interesting affair, and we wait to see how Godolphin's start is campaigned throughout the rest of the season. Hopefully Aidan O'Brien and John Gosden can keep up this rapport they've got going on. We certainly found it very amusing. Welcome back to the final instalment of this week's The Front Page. It's been very lively so far, and it's going to be lively in Westminster on Wednesday. There'll be a blank day of no racing in Britain. We'll be racing at Cork in Ireland, but unprecedented really in racing's history, proposing the racing tax, the harmonisation of horse race betting alongside casino gaming. I spoke to bookmakers about this at Kempton on Saturday on the rails, and they were sort of saying they're not sure it's going to make much of a difference, and that racing really is in general in quite a bad place.
Oh, that's fun to hear.
It is fun to hear, but it's also true and it's important. What do you make of the strike, Chris? Do you think it's going to have an impact?
I mean, it's hard to predict these things in advance. You don't know what's being said behind the scenes. We have to hope that it's going to have an impact, because at the moment, the government seems dead set on doing something which all the experts seem to say is going to have a devastating impact on racing's income for the long term, you know, in a way that probably can't be made up for by, you know, some kind of extra sop here or there. It's going to be a continuing problem that will just, you know, that could send the sport into a bit of a spiral. And bearing in mind that, you know, in terms of things like prize money, we are still having to compete with other better funded jurisdictions overseas. You know, we desperately need quality horses to keep turning up for our best races. We desperately need businesses based in this country to keep getting enough money to sustain themselves and to keep people in employment. So that's the importance of this day. It's doing something really significant in the hope that powerful people will notice and take an interest and start to maybe open their minds to the possibility that a mistake is being made here. And that a change of direction is required, because if this just turns out to be, you know, one blank day in racing's history and then everything carries on as before, you know, we could be really in trouble.
I guess that's a query, isn't it? Is this the start of even more industrial action or not? Numbers being bandied around, $200,000 it's going to cost the sport, Liam. The meetings have been rescheduled, so they've not been lost altogether. During the week, Jockey Club CEO Jim Mullins saying that racing needs to remain united in tackling this racing tax problem. What's your view on it? What do you think will be achieved on Wednesday?
That's a very tough question, because we don't know. I think it's significant that this is happening, and you know, everyone is united. The fact that everyone's pulled together, something needs to happen clearly. The impact on it in the long term, who knows? Like, if it's just going to be one strike and things go back to normal, then, you know, what achievement has it done? It's, you know, we're talking. It's you mentioned the bookmakers said it's not really going to have much of an impact, or they don't think it's going to have much of an impact. Is that because it's happening on a quiet Wednesday in Britain? And the racing might not attract that much interest anyway, because it's lower graded racing. Whether if this was the sort of the foundation to then going on and having another one at a significant, a bigger meeting. Obviously, this takes place the day before the 3-day ledger meeting starts at Doncaster. So all eyes clearly will be on the sport anyway. It's huge that everyone is sort of going. Everything in racing is going in the right direction, and you know, you have key stakeholders and big players in the game that are, you know, singing from the rooftops and making sure that something happens from this, because something does need to happen.
It does. We published a story last week saying that the Black Market report claimed that illegal bookmakers now control 9% of the UK market. We would argue, Chris, that of course this combined with affordability checks is further pushing people that way. It's a very real threat, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels we've had several years of sort of gradually creating the ideal conditions for black market betting to thrive. And you just know that the firms who are getting involved in that unregulated sector have got their tails up. You know, they're going out there aggressively looking for customers and probably having some success. It wouldn't do for me. You know, I pray for the people who are betting with that kind of bookie. We've had all our lives complaining about what regulated bookmakers do. You know, you can bet that bookies who aren't regulated will be behaving somewhat less well. So, good luck to them. As I say, it seems like a terrible idea to me, but clearly it holds attraction for some people who are finding existing circumstances frustrating. And that's going to go on being the case to the detriment of racing's income.
Do you think racing has played this right with the way that it's positioned itself to the government? Do you think a strike was needed? Do you think that was wise?
Well, I mean, some sort of something was needed to get the government's attention. Time will tell whether this was the right way to go, whether this was sufficient. Maybe there will have to be further. But I personally, I was surprised. It wasn't something that was on my radar. It's got, a couple of those necessary elements that are required to sort of get people's attention, to get outside sympathy. You know, racing is giving up significant income here. It's giving up a whole day of when it would normally be entertaining its audience. And it seems united in doing that. You know, I haven't heard any demurring voices saying, hold on, this is a terrible road that we're going down. I guess it would be different if they'd picked a major Saturday, if we were losing something like the Air Gold Cup. You know, then you got stakeholders should be losing something really significant. You know, yes. It'd be taking a major hit to their bottom line. Maybe something like that is next to be discussed if this doesn't prove to be enough.
Yes, indeed. And no offence intended at the Air Gold Cup. Wonderful race. The budget will be announced on November 26th, so of course we will know more about this then. It's a case of watch this space. As always, stay tuned to racingpost.com and our app for all the latest on racing's strike on Wednesday. That's all we have time for on today's show. It's been very interesting talking about the ARC, Aidan O'Brien, John Gosden, the Irish Champion Stakes and the strike on Wednesday. As always, get involved, let us know your thoughts down below, and we'll see you in a week's time to unpack even more action and discuss some of the big talking points in racing. Bye bye.